So if we need to change the microphones, we can. But I think they're okay. Yeah. All right, today's date is August the 3rd, 1998. Just go ahead and state your name.
Harold Watts.
Okay. Let's just start off. I like to start off getting kind of, so we can get to know each other. Just tell me where you grew up and a little bit about your family.
Well, I grew up here in Knott County, uh-huh. In the general vicinity of a mile and a half. And
do you have any brothers and sisters?
Oh, I got one brother uh-huh. who's dead, two sisters who have died.
What did your parents do when you were growing up?
Well, my dad did several different things. He was a supervisor for the WPA, which is the Urban Public Works Administration, started yeah. under President Roosevelt. And he built some roads, and he built the Carr Creek High School,
okay.
The stone, native sandstone. And he did some carpentry work, and he ran a store probably the last 15 years of his life. He
okay.
he died in 1967 at the uh-huh. age of 62. And my mother, she was just a housewife and raised kids. And
yeah, that's a big typical, job.
Typical. Eastern Kentucky housewife.
Yeah. Well, I guess let's talk a little bit about your school years. Where did you go to grade school? Did you always go up at the Hyman? Or?
No, I went my first 6 years. I went to the one-room schoolhouse up okay. at the mouth of Owens Branch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stone building. It's a resident now, I think. And I went to the first 6 years. But of that first six, I think I went about a year and a half at Carr Creek while my dad was building the uh-huh. high school over there.
Okay. So then you came to, I guess what year did you come to up to Hyman then, seventh or eighth grade? Or?
I started seventh grade in 1942.
Okay.
And I had an appendectomy, ruptured appendectomy
oh, wow.
that year, so
yeah.
I started seventh grade, and I went a month, and we were playing some basketball on the old dirt courts there, and I
yeah.
Accidentally got pushed off the over a stone wall down to the next court below that, so I had to lay out of school that year.
My
appendix, where the surgery was, opened back up again. So.
Yeah.
And I started eighth grade, or started seventh grade the following year, and I guess due to my grades and maybe some sympathy, well, they let me skip the seventh grade after 1 month, and I moved up to the eighth grade and got
back with your
and caught back up with my friends and
yeah.
so.
Well, let's talk a little bit about going to school at Hyman. Now, you didn't live on the settlement school
no,
campus,
no,
did you?
No.
Okay. So did you have did you ride the bus or did you walk?
I walked. I live right across from here. There's a little holler over here called Short Branch.
Yeah.
And at that time, if you lived within a half a mile of the city limits, you had to walk. And if you lived if you lived within a mile, you had to walk. If
mm-hmm.
you lived a mile or outside of a mile radius, well, you rode a school bus.
But you got to walk.
Yeah, we got to walk and skate down the Troublesome Creek in wintertime when it was frozen over. And at that time, you could skate all the way to high school.
Really? How long would it take you when you're walking?
Oh, probably take about 15 minutes. Or
That's not too bad, I guess.
No.
What'd y'all do when the water was up? Was school called off, or?
Well, the school might not be called off. I really don't remember missing over maybe 2 days school
mm-hmm.
For snow, flooding, or anything else in the 4 years that I went to Hyman High School.
Now they miss for everything.
Yeah.
That's wild. Well, since you didn't live on the campus, I have different questions kind of for different people.
Mm-hmm.
What was downtown like, or what, I guess, what did you do in Hyman when you wanted to hang out with your buddies or something?
Oh, the town itself?
Yeah.
Well, we, town, really, you know, Hamlin was really pretty active at that
was
time.
It?
Yeah. On court days, you know, everybody.
So this would have been in the 40s or more than?
Yeah, it, I was started high school in 44.
Okay.
And graduated in 48.
Yeah. Okay, so what about court days?
In court days, you know, everybody would ride their horses and mules or whatever they rode to town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was cars then, but they, that was the day they did all the trading and everything. You know, they'd trade any kind of merchandise or
uh-huh.
trade their horses or whatever. And so the town was really jumping on court days. It was full. But basically what we did to for entertainment, you know, there'd be three or four restaurants maybe. Later on, Joe Kilgore had a restaurant where the Mighty Mart is now.
Okay.
And Josephine Cornish's mother, Sally Gayhart, had a restaurant upstairs close to where Young's department store was.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a little restaurant on the corner of Max Cody's store is now. There was a little restaurant there. Then there's a one they call Palace Lunch, which was opposite the courthouse.
Wow, there was a bunch of places down there.
And then there was a drugstore. I don't know which building that was, what's in that building right now, but it was next door to the bank,
mm-hmm.
the bank building. And then later on, there was a little restaurant called The Hole in the Wall, which was right close to where the store is, or the,
mm-hmm.
I think it used to be an IGA store. And then at the end of that period, there was one that Joe Kilgore and Sarah Kilgore ran where the Mighty Mart is.
Okay, yeah, I think somebody else mentioned that one too.
And that's where, you know, they would have jukeboxes in. That's generally where boys and girls kind of what they call courted at that time.
Uh-huh.
You know, they'd have booths and they'd go in and play a jukebox and drink Coke and dance a little bit or
yeah.
whatever.
So, I mean, guess, was there, that's one thing that I've kind of been asking people about is, how did you, like, date somebody then? Because, I mean, I don't guess you just take off to Hazard or anything.
No,
like people do now.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. Then practically no one had a car to drive at a young age.
And yeah.
Their parents might have a car, but you didn't drive it too much.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, we'd kind of sneak over to Selma School and get right off. And we'd try to visit girls there, you know, too.
What, so you weren't supposed to, if you didn't live there, were you not supposed to be over there?
No. Well, and I don't think girls were not, you were just not allowed on campus, you know,
right.
at, after dark, but the girls would sneak out and and the boys would be maybe on, you know, across the bridge
yeah.
or something until the security guard found you and ran you off.
So I guess from your perspective, since you didn't live on campus, what was your all's feeling towards the kids that did live on campus, or the rules? Because it was different.
Well, you know, we all went to school together, and
right.
we mixed together, and
yeah.
so on. And there's, but they were pretty well. They had only certain times that they could go off campus.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they got leave, you know, on the weekends to go visit their parents or go visit relatives and so
mm-hmm.
on. But generally, you know, you always found time to, if you wanted to talk during the school days, you on campus,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the high school itself. And yeah, it seemed like everyone got along. Communicating got along real well,
yeah.
whether you were staying on campus or whether you were,
mm-hmm.
you know, off-campus students.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't heard anything like that, but I just, I know how people are, you know, you can perceive that as being a little bit different. Not a lot different, like you said, because you all still went to school together. But I know that they probably had more rules to follow.
Yeah, well, you know, never everyone identified with them as, you know, as Selma school students. Yeah. And
yeah.
Have you made it back?
Yeah, finally. Finally did. Well, another thing I was going to ask you about is, you said you graduated in 48, right? Because one thing we've been trying to kind of find out about is after, or even during the war and after the war, how that affected this area. And that would have been when you were growing up, you know, before you were in high school, or maybe just about around that time.
Yeah. Well, World War II started in December 1941 and was over in 45. So I was in
high school.
Two of the years, the two ending years of the war.
I guess,
And you had some veterans that came back really and started school. You might be, see, I graduated when I was 16.
Wow.
And I was going to high school with veterans that were 22, 25 year old. You know, we probably had four or five veterans in our graduating class in 48.
You mean they had fought and then come back to go to school? Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean,
there's quite an age difference.
Yeah, nobody had ever told me about that. About that happening. I guess kind of, I don't even know exactly what question to ask, but because what was it like during that time when the war was starting? Because this is such a small town, and I mean, people were going off, you know, to fight in this.
Yeah, well, there's all through the war, it was a continuous thing.
If
people would come of age to be drafted, or they would volunteer and they would leave. And it was quite there was a lot of depressing times at that time.
Yeah.
And everyone was very patriotic. They followed the war real closely.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me, of course, I was relatively young then, but it seemed to me that it brought the community together because everyone had relatives.
Right.
And they had a common thing that they were concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Not just winning the war, but with their own relatives and citizens of the town. A few of them were getting killed all the time, too. Mm-hmm. So it was.
What was that like having those guys come back and be in school with you? I mean, I can't imagine. It'd be kind of like.
Well, I can only speak for myself. But
right.
It seemed to me like, you know, that they were a 16-year-old looking at a veteran. That was just almost like you looking at your father or something.
Right.
Really, it was more of a fatherly figure than it was a co-student.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say that would be different, a lot different.
And some of them played on the basketball team. You know, they would be playing before they entered the Army, and then they'd come back and play, finish out their high school career and graduate and play basketball at the same time. Of course, basketball was about the only sport that was played in school-wide.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, because I've heard some good stories about how popular it was. And did you play on the team, or?
No, I was too small. When I was a sophomore in high school, I was real young. I was only 5'2", and only weighed 102 pounds.
You were small.
So I grew up, you know, the last two years. You know, we played basketball, but not on the organized team. But, well, Hyndman they really excelled in basketball at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I know in my, in 1939, they were runners-up in the state tournament. 43, they won the state tournament and probably went to the tournament at least one other time while I was in high school. And Pearl Combs, you know, he was a young coach at that time. He started coaching in the maybe 35 to 37, 1935 to 37. And I wrote an article on the basketball at Hyndman High School in our school annual.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
And I can't remember exactly, but it seemed like that time, we, just time Pearl came there, we won 35 trophies. You know, either connected with a district, regional, yeah. or state tournament.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, a lot of people have always, it seems like in every interview, people have mentioned that about the basketball.
Yeah, and, you know, we didn't have a large gymnasium. I'd say probably wouldn't have held over 1,000 people if it held that many.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was a high pitched event.
I'd say so.
There were always, if you lost, the referee, like it is today, the referee took the game from us, and sometimes that would get into fisticuffs at times, even among the fans, and sometimes they'd have to guard the referee when he came off the court.
That's funny. Let's talk a little bit about maybe some teachers you had when you were in, I guess mainly in high school or even in eighth grade, that you remember. Who were some that stand out in your mind?
You know, I started seventh and went a month, and Clarence Woods was the principal of the grade school, as I recall, and Benny Dyer taught. Clarence was my teacher in the eighth grade, as I recall, and he was the one that moved me from the seventh on up to the eighth. And we had some wonderful teachers at the high school, and some of the teachers that taught there even stayed at the settlement, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't even native Kentuckians. Two of the teachers, there's a Miss Jamison that taught English literature, and she was a wonderful teacher. And she was from Pennsylvania, but she stayed on campus at the settlement school.
Uh-huh.
And then, I think her first name was Clara, but Mrs. Standish ran the library, and she also did some teaching. Each year we would have clubs that we could, electives at what we could enter.
Uh-huh.
And there's Mrs. Bradley, taught art. She was a good art teacher. At a music club, and I'll think of her name maybe in a minute, that taught piano. And we...
Was it Mrs. White?
Mrs. White.
Okay.
And we had an archery club, Harriet Sloan, who was an English teacher. These were just kind of off the cuff. Organized clubs, they change from year to year.
Yeah, that's pretty neat though. I mean, y'all had that stuff.
And Harriet Sloan was the archery teacher. She had probably taken an archery club or maybe an elective at college when she was going to college, so she taught that. And we had a country music club. You know, people play the banjo, the guitar, and had a home ec club. And Billy Miller Smith, you know, Billy and I were the only two boys that I think that ever joined the home ec club.
Oh, y'all did join it.
I think we joined it so we could be around some girls.
I was gonna ask you that.
I don't remember either one of us learning how to do any cooking.
Well, there's
nothing
wrong with that.
And Mrs. Orrick taught that. She taught home ec.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Orrick also was the chaperone of the cheerleading teams. And I'm trying to think of some of the other clubs. We had a photography club. We'd give us a little dark room in the chemistry lab and develop, you know, curtain it off and develop pictures. But kind of an interesting story about myself, getting back to the art club, where Mrs. Bradley taught art.
Yeah.
And, you know, art is a freehand course. And the first day of the art class, I had a ruler, and we were drawing, we were supposed to sketch Uncle Sol's cabin. But I had me a ruler, and I was patted, and I was making all the straight lines for the E's, and I was drawing a perfect picture. Miss Brandy came around and says, Harold, says, you've got to, in art, it's all freehand. She says, you can't use a ruler and so on. And I thought about that for a couple, 3 days, and I went to Miss Brandy and I said, I just don't believe I have the gift of being an artist. And as it turned out, that Mrs. Standish had organized and started a Latin class. So by doing that, I moved to Latin, and I had 2 years of Latin, which served me well in years to come.
Yeah.
And she taught it in the library. Hmm. We probably had 6 or 8 students at the most.
So did you do these classes after school, or was it during school?
During school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. But the Latin club was not a club, you know.
Yeah.
But the art was not a club either. It was a class that was taught.
Yeah.
And the piano music was classes that were taught. Mm-hmm. But, I've always been glad that since I never would have been too good in art, that I did I did move over to the Latin class.
That is probably better. Mm-hmm.
And Rennie Hyman, I might be jumping around too.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Hyman High School really had a good curriculum at that time. We had chemistry. We had, plane geometry.
Mm-hmm.
And had at that time you had several courses in math that you took, algebra and general math. English literature and English composition, science. So it was for Eastern Kentucky.
Later on,
going to college, you talk to fellow students, and not all you talked to had the chemistry classes and so on they could take in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you asked me about the teachers. And I started telling you about some of them. We had an outstanding group of teachers. And Ralph Carter taught plane geometry, and we all, we had homeroom each day too.
Yeah.
And he was a homeroom teacher of mine for, I think, 2 years. We had Claude Kaler that taught science, Jody Adams that taught chemistry. Pearl Combs was in algebra and math. And Pearl had a unique way of teaching. He was a basketball coach, but he majored in math in college.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
And he was a great math teacher. But he would pick out one or two in the students in the class, and they always graded his papers.
Hmm.
And which was unusual.
Yeah, that is pretty unusual.
Yeah. And not only was he giving him his students some training, he was training him in responsibility too.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Mrs. Grover, who I'm not sure, but I think maybe she was interim principal between maybe Williams and Litton Singleton, and she was an interim principal at that time. Mm-hmm. Maybe for part of a school year.
Okay.
And I can't remember, I think maybe she was from Pennsylvania, but I do know that was at the end of World War II, shortly after they organized the United Nations. And I can't remember exactly what she taught, but she did have you couldn't call it an elective for the students that were interested. She just volunteered to have her meet students one day, and I think there's about 5 of us, and we studied the Organization of the United Nations. And
that's pretty neat.
Kindly. As a high school student, I try to look through it with our eyes, as what we thought the benefits would come from it and so on.
Yeah.
And we kept up with current events too, and That wasn't a credit course, but just part of the teaching. Hmm.
Sounds like y'all had, a lot of different opportunities, like you were saying.
Oh, yeah, it was a well-rounded curriculum, and also not just the curriculum, but like the clubs, which are probably those clubs would substitute for intramural sports today.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, rather, and we'd have gymnastics and that type of elective course we'd take also.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of some of the other teachers, but that pretty well covers most of them that was teaching at the time I was there.
Okay. Well, one thing I ask people, and this is kind of hard to answer too, is about, I know there's things that stand out in my mind, like stories that I have from high school, like maybe things that happened when I was in school that always stand out in my mind. I didn't know if there's anything like that. That when you think back on your days going to Hyndman, you know, even if it was just something that happened one day at school, things like that, or things that y'all did together.
Well, some of the things that were an example of the Christmas season.
Uh-huh.
We would. As I recall, I don't know where the candy and the different things was, but there would be a little plate put on for the parents and the community, the town or whatever, and whoever was a drama teacher, or if they weren't a drama teacher, they would take some students and for the cast of a play. And those were events that I really think the whole town remembered at that time. And they would also, have candy, and they could come see the drama, and then they could also give the children candy and different things. I think one thing that I always go back to, and it's connected with the settlement. You know, I told you there's probably only 2 or 3 days missed, but we did have all the heat and everything froze up. You know, we had steam furnaces that came, or radiators in the rooms, and that was, steam was made by the furnace in the basement of the high school. But it got so cold that the furnaces or the radiators themselves froze up. So we didn't have school. And it seemed that half of the high school, you know, we weren't having school. The ones that lived, you know, within walking distance, we all headed to the settlement school. There was snow on the ground, and we rode sleighs and sleds and the day long, you know. And we got to co-mingle with the girls that were staying there, and the boys too.
That
was kind of a time where, you know, that was sort of a recreation day that's the only one I remember all the time I was in high school where anything like that happened. Yeah.
Well. Now it snows and you don't have school and things, but that would be pretty, did that happen much though, even if it didn't snow? Did y'all go over to the campus and play much, or?
No.
Okay. Well, then actually,
because during the school days, you know, we were going to school, and then after school was out, that's kind of off hours for going. So.
I guess, that's true. Well, after you finished high school, what did you do?
Well, I got a scholarship to an engineering scholarship at the University of Kentucky.